Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
Dude, that's Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
Welcome back to The Smiley Show. If it sounds like I'm straining between my full decibel and somewhere that's around a golf whisper, it's because right behind me in fading daylight, the closing ceremonies of the 50th Walker Cup at Cypress Point are currently happening. The Americans got it done after shaky opening to Saturday. They came through in a big way in singles on both Saturday and Sunday to win. Smiley, I believe the final was 16.5 to 9.5, which is just a half point off my prediction.
Well, we're People still kind of waiting for the full tally to come back, because I thought it was 17-9 was the tally at the end, but apparently it was 16.5. Nobody knows what happened in that final match. They got to 18, but I assume Modelski, that's how you pronounce his last name, Modelski, won the match. But I don't know. There was a lot going on at the very end. Everybody was just trying to get to the end. Of course, the fog rolled in. But if you give me extra golf and extra Cypress Point coverage, I'm not going to complain about it.
So Cypress Point, like watching fog shots on 16, there's a joy and delight in that. It almost harkens back to when we were here a couple of years ago, and we've seen Michael Kim and others tweet, "Hey, I know we can't play the final round of the AT&T Pro-Am, but can we just send people out to 7 to hit balls in this wind?" Just there's a intrigue factor anytime you can see, of course, Cypress, let alone Cypress, but fog shots on 16 at Cypress.
Dude, the place is the best. Hey, did anybody get up and down for my spot on 12 this week? I think it was 12, right?
Your spot? I don't think anybody hit it after. Do I remember? Of course I remember it. I told like 5 people this week about this shot.
He's like, yeah, you see that way over there about 60 yards right? Yeah, SK got up and down from there.
They should put a little plaque up there where it's like, not only is it your, you know, the 7-iron that you opened up to like punch it out of there, sure, hit like this giant 7-flop, but also just like the heel of your driver that got you up there in the sand.
Instead of a snowman, on the heel. Maybe like a sandman over there, like my own personal little SK sandman.
There you go. Little logo. Still the best up and down I've ever seen in my life. Absolutely incredible stuff.
Nice bird. Nice bird.
I got a big shout out to the good people at the USGA and the people at Chomp, it's called. The something hospital of Monterey Peninsula, because I'm currently using their first aid tent, Smiley. The marine layer has driven me inside, but I wanted some cypress trees. You can kind of see if you're watching on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, you can see it.
Some Monterey cypresses back here. I wanted some of the ambiance, but of course, the marine layer was going to compromise the integrity of my electrical equipment. So I grabbed some used pizza boxes, courtesy of the USGA and Julia Pine, stacked them up here, and hopped in the first aid tent. So
pizza sounds kind of nice. Is there actually some slices in there you can like maybe sneak in throughout the deal?
I pulled this from the used box, but I'm realizing now that might have been it. I should have got one with like 2 left, so I could have just changed the camera angle. But it's good local pizza here. Yeah, I mean it was, and we're gonna dig into Cypress a little later on in the show, because we want to get to Rory winning the Irish Open and implications on the Ryder Cup run for both tournaments happening this weekend. But man, dude, I just left today as the kind of the light dimmed out here and the late afternoon fog rolled in. It just was so cool to see this place come to life on television and in person, and how the fairways sort of browned over the week, and we're watching guys really. I thought the creativity of some of these guys, and that early the Sunday foursomes match, Niall Shields-Donegan, Cameron Adamer playing against Jay Summey and Michael Osasso in that last group. Ended up winning 2-1, but actually got close at the end. But I love the shot. Cameron Adam intentionally hit his ball on 12, you know, way right of his target to use a ramp on the side and funnel his ball in where there was an easy makeable birdie putt that Donegan converted and put him up. I think it was 5 up at that point in the match. But I just thought there were so many instances throughout the week of the guys here really, you know, playing the course with creativity in a way that you don't always see at every big modern ballpark. And that's all you can really ask for when you're showcasing a place like Cypress Point Club.
Totally. And the golf course, the layout, the architecture is top notch. Then you throw in one of the most beautiful places in the world. It makes for some pretty compelling golf, and especially for golf fans. A lot of people that listen to the Cypress Point Walker Cup preview episode, and they were listening to it, and I got a couple of texts being like, dude, I had no idea what holes you guys were talking about, but it all sounded great. You know, just BRB using my imagination type of situation. So happy that everybody got to experience the golf course that so many people haven't seen. You know, you may have gone on YouTube before and done the hole by hole, but still doesn't get quite of a feel of exactly how the holes play. And I think you said it best, you know, the creativity of which guys played shots. You know, when I've played Cypress Point, it hasn't necessarily been very firm. It was really cool to see the fairways bouncing, the greens having some bounce to them as well. So these certain holes that require, you know, a little bit of thought off the tee. You know, we saw plenty of irons off tees, and then later in some matches, we saw some drivers. You know, some risk reward kind of came out throughout this golf course. Of course, there's, you know, only two par fives, but you have a drivable par four, short par fours kind of throughout this golf course. We saw a lot of birdies, so you had to win holes with birdies. You didn't see too many bogeys. These players played great, and the United States team just played a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, it really the score line was not as close as it felt. I mean, it was just a blowout on the third and final the fourth and final portion of this competition with Sunday singles. But you know, prior to that, it was right within the grasp for GB and I. And you know, it was, I thought they did a great job. You know, maybe more so than previous years, and keeping this close until that last segment. Yeah, we'll get back into that. I want to talk some Mason Howe. I mean, we need to redraft our 10-year teams. I got to get Mason Howe on my 10-year team alongside Miles Russell. This kid has the it factor, Smiley.
Oh man, he had two of the biggest moments of the week. You know, making an albatross. I know this was not during the actual tournament, but made an albatross on the second hole, the par five. There, you had a great video that you posted out on socials. UCA also caught the video as well. Couldn't see it go in, which is a bummer, but still an incredible shot in the practice trying to make a two, and then the hole out to win the match. To walk off on the 17th hole, that was this morning, I believe, correct? To win that match, yes. He's playing with Jacob Modelski. Is it Modelski? Modelski. I need to get that last name right.
It's written Modelski. Yeah, I mean, it's anyone's guess the pronunciation, but yeah, I think that he is a guy. And again, we'll dig into some of the top point getters on each of these teams. Some impressive guys, even on the GB and I side. And just breaking down the competition at large, because I think it's a really special one. The Rota is so unique, and just the places this competition takes you. I think the USGA does such a great job with this competition. But let's jump over to the pro side quickly, Smiley, and you're gonna have to fill me in on the happenings here, because not only was I here all week, but it's the DP World Tour is already usually morning viewing for me on the East Coast. On the West Coast, we never even had a chance. Despite the protests of my young children who woke up, you know, like 4 or 5 times during the night on this trip, we were not fully adjusted. But Rory McIlroy wins the Irish Open at the K Club, eagles the 72nd hole to make it into a playoff, and then beats, I'm going to take a stab at this. You tell me if I'm anywhere close. Joachim Lagergren.
That's what I just heard on, I believe it was Anna Jackson doing the Golf Central. That's the way she pronounced his first name. And then Lagergren, I believe, is how you pronounce his last name.
Yeah. So I just want to tee this up with a tweet from Kyle Porter that I love, of just quantifying Rory McIlroy's year. Wins at Pebble, wins Sawgrass in a playoff, wins the Masters at Augusta National playoff, and wins the Irish Open, his home event at the K Club, in a playoff. And really, Kyle's note, outside of Portrush, hard to imagine how it gets any better in terms of an individual year for Rory McIlroy. Just such good stuff from him.
Oh, totally. It's, you know, it's kind of wild to me. You know, you just go through that incredible list of venues that he's won at, and then, of course, throwing the Irish Open to be the fourth. Isn't it hard to believe it that he has not won since April? And we talk about this incredible year that he's had, but it would have been a bit lackluster to see him not win again in 2025 after such an incredibly hot start. But he credits a little bit too, listening to some of the interviews after the round, about how getting into contention late last fall at Wentworth and the Irish Open, and the Irish Open last year was at Royal County Downs. I think a lot of people are a little let down this year to turn on the K Club. Not quite as, you know, I mean, K Club's good and all, but it's Royal County Down.
It's more. I mean, it's
the Parkland, equivalent. Right?
It's Parkland, which I guess I don't know if that nomenclature extends to Ireland as well as Scotland. Like, there's Parkland and there's Lynx, you know, Lynxland style golf, but this is definitely a Parkland. It is actually the one course I've played in Ireland. It's a great time. It's just not Royal County Down.
Not
many courses are, right? And there is something there that's funny, right, with Rory, where he's had these near misses at places where, as cathedrals of golf, you want him to win so bad. You want him to win the Open Championship at St. Andrews in 22 last year at Royal County Down. And then he still comes up with it down the road, but it would have been so cool to see him win there last year.
Oh, 100%. And I guess what I was getting at is that his experiences last year getting into contention and just how he's able to manage his game and his mind on late on Sundays, you know, just give himself an opportunity to win golf tournaments. He does it so often just with how well he plays. And, you know, this event in particular, you know, just gave himself a chance on the back nine. He was two shots back. The guy in front of him, Joachim, just birdies 18. So going up to the 18th hole, he had to make an eagle. I mean, he had to make an eagle. Mm-hmm. And then he makes that putt. And if you haven't gone and watched all of the highlights and all the videos yet, do yourself a favor. Go on Twitter, search DP World Tour Irish Open, search Rory McIlroy, and just find every single video angle that you possibly can, because it is awesome. It's probably one of the best crowd pops of the entire year. Just every single person in that place wanted that putt to go in. He was able to do it with authority, too. That ball was just rolling in with some speed right in the back of the hole. So
did you see the video that Kyle posted with the father and the son?
Oh, it was awesome, man. I've seen all the angles. It was incredible.
It's so good. It's so good.
You know, one of the other cool things he talked about was how he's kind of started to embrace the crowds. You know, for example, Port Rush. Mm-hmm. You know, how he showed up there at Port Rush and just – oh, sorry, I thought you were
– if you're watching this on YouTube or you're listening on audio, and you're trying to.
I thought you were giving me a big stop sign. I was like, oh,
no, this is. I'm adjusting my lighting. We're in a live lighting environment right now.
It totally is.
First day to start to pick up around here. This might be the after party spot.
I've lost the trees behind you.
This reminds me of our Sandhills episode where we had 5 minutes of like the river behind us, and then it was just me, and then might as well be a black drape behind me.
Yes. Well, what I was saying was just that he put too much pressure on himself early in his career.
Yeah.
You know, you can go back and look at Port Rush at the Irish Open, just wasn't quite ready for it. Wanted to play well for his fans because he has more support than anybody. I mean, if you think about players that get support like a Rory McIlroy, especially when they go home, I mean, I know these guys play in front of a United States audience all the time, so you can really only probably relate it to European players, like a Rom goes back and plays in Spain, or Rory plays in Ireland. You know, Scotty always gets incredible crowds wherever he goes in the States. So it is cool to watch these national opens for these top players, to see the amount of respect and how much these guys really love playing in front of these fans. And he showed up this week, Charlie, with the green jacket on, toting it around, proud to be a Masters champion from Ireland.
You know, and I think it's interesting, we didn't talk about discussing this on the front of the episode, but it all kind of ties together of the importance of these national opens and the way that the Augusta National and the Masters have now realigned their qualification criteria alongside what the RNA has in place to award winners of these national opens. And I think it's in some ways we're looking at a professional golf landscape that is fractured between PGA Tour and LIV, right? And trying to kind of figure out, how do we bring that back together? How do we get these guys in majors? Certain governing bodies have created pathways. But I think that another added piece of that, and we've discussed it on the show recently, you had a conversation with Ian Baker Finch about Australia, mm-hmm. and just how do we create weight for national opens. And so I love that, you know, this Rory winning this event adds a little bit of juice to that. Winners of these events getting the Masters adds juice to that. And you hope that that can become part of, you know, whatever the future pro golf calendar looks like. These things are the lifeblood of that. And these things are the way you make it global when you're actually talking about growing the game, with big air quotes around it.
Oh, I am all for it. You know, I'm such a huge advocate of these national opens, playing in many of them when I was a professional golfer, and just the amount of support, you know, we talked about the Irish Open, the amount of support Rory got, but you go to Australia, you go to Singapore, wherever it may be, the fans show up and they're proud of these events, and they like to support them, and they love to have big names come and play, and they're proud of when, you know, if it's a top player that wins their national open. So Bobby McAcheese and Roy McIlroy, those two guys are national open killers, because Rory's got a ton of them. So right. Bobby Mac. The one other thing I'm going to add to just quickly on this PGA Tour calendar and schedule, we're talking about these national opens on how, if you win them, you can potentially get into the Masters. Well, as we head into this fall season with the PGA Tour, the fall winners are not getting into the Masters anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, which I'm actually curious to hear how you feel about that as a 2015 champion of the Shriners Open.
Well, yeah, it's what gave me an opportunity.
Would you have gotten in through any other, you know, world ranking stats, or was that the one ticket you had into the Masters?
I would have had to get in the top 50, and it took me. That's a good question. I think I would have already gotten into the top 50 at that point. It would have been pretty close, but yeah. It sure was nice not to worry about it.
Well, and it's one of those things that's interesting of what, you know, for every change that's made, you know, that benefits a group, there's another group that you know, has to lose, right? You can't just create infinite opportunities and expect everyone to be able to. That's part and parcel the reason why we saw these changes this last offseason to tour cards, of going from 125 to 100 and changing the kind of the ways the categories reshuffle, because the guys who were getting their tour cards off the Korn Ferry Tour, you know, it didn't mean what it should have meant, which is, okay, I want to show up and get starts that aren't signature events and I can't get them. What is this thing worth anyway, right?
The so PGA Tour, they devalued the fall events. You know, like if they don't care about it when they present it, besides, hey, you're just playing for status, then why should we care?
And that's, I think that's exactly right. And you know, maybe that's part of the design of the whole thing, of like creating greater emphasis on the regular season and the ones where you are asking your stars to show up and play. You know, those ones are the most important ones, although it is kind of funny how we're seeing some of these fall events, and it's still the proper season for the DP World Tour as they do the race to Dubai. But you know, on the PGA Tour front, if you're the Pro Corps, you have the one event that's sitting pretty in terms of getting guys to play that every single year as they tune up for the team competition. So not all those events are created equal. But I'd say, just taking it back to where we started with the National Open, you know, invites for winners to get into the Masters, and as part of that, cutting out the PGA Tour fall winners, you know, I don't necessarily hate it. You know, it's like if these events are,
I'm indifferent.
If they are weaker fields,
depends who wins.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's fair. That's fair.
Can we make that decision based off of who wins? It's like, okay, let's see. Gordon Sargent. Yeah, you winning here at the Pro. Yeah, we want you. we want you. That's right. It just depends on who it is.
That was part of the release that Augusta National put out. It's like, we can still extend invites at our discretion. And I don't know how many, if that changes or ebbs or flows, but I feel like it's one of those things where Ludwig won the RSM a couple of years ago. He was going to be in the Masters anyway, you know, based on world ranking and stuff like that.
Argument,
like, so if we care about them, they're probably already in.
Well, the argument that I would make is that, how different is the field from the Rocket Mortgage to the John Deere to a regular fall series event? It can't be that much different. Maybe a little bit from a weighted perspective, but you can't imagine that it's just drastically different than a normal PGA Tour event that's in that John Deere 3M category.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't entirely disagree with that. It's the same set of players, and you could go, I mean, it's, You're maybe changing a few of the names at the end of that list, but by and large, it really is the same set of players, and you could actually quantify that via, you know, the strength of field rating on OWGR. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like there is we are devaluing the fall events, and I'd rather we talked about this on the show too. It's like I'd rather find a better way to sell the fall events and the non-platinum tour events as, you know, the thing that there is a section of golf fandom that clamors for. Like, it's the reason why Monday Q Info is such a thing, and why people kind of found this sort of this, I'm not going to call it like niche, it's a large following, but just there's an interest in underdog stories or up and comers that, you know, people find that outside of all the elites that sell all the tickets, get butts and seats, things like that. That if you correctly branded the pipelines and sold us the fall as something that was cool and unique and this is why we're supposed to care about it, and sold these other off events as well that aren't signature events in the same way, I think the fan would find that more honest, you know, and just more consumable than you know. And I get these last couple of years have been transitional. You're trying to kind of figure out what the branding is. Now you have a new CEO that's going to change it again. But that's kind of how I think about a lot of these things that just don't have a great identity, you know?
Totally. And this is, you know, I'd like to keep most of this conversation today for this podcast. I think a lot of people are, for the most part, like, hey, let's talk Rory, let's talk Walker Cup. So we don't want to bore you to death here talking about too much of this stuff, but it needed to be brought up because that when we talk about the Irish Open, we talk about the Pro Corps coming up and just the fall in itself, it definitely was worth like briefly talking about. But I don't want to get into too heated of a discussion all this because it really is a very debatable topic, if you will.
we have our rabbit hole, Smiley, and they're well worn. It's like once someone starts dangling a carrot over one of our like signature rabbit holes, it's hard to like shy away from that. We just have to take the
You're not wrong. I almost ate the carrot on the next, but I think where we initially were was the Irish Open. And just to kind of wrap up on the Irish Open, Rory wasn't the only Ryder Cupper that played. Shane Lowry also played, made the cut, shot 7 under par. So a pretty decent week there for Shane. Tyrrell Hatton played, shot 2 under. So not the strongest of starts for Tyrrell. One notable name I want to bring up to you, Charlie, that you may have missed. Brooks Koepka played, missed the cut. And missed the cut hard, and like closer to the DFL. I think he shot 80 on Friday is what I think I end up reading. But just a shocking season for Brooks. I know that's not what we're here to talk about today, but just has to be brought up.
Yes, you saw that as well. And I think that, yeah, maybe that's another one of our offseason storylines to unpack is, you know, a lot of people had written Brooks off after the whole knee injury situation and felt like he'd gone to live because that was a safe option, not knowing how he's going to get healthy again. And then he got healthy again in a big way, came back, won a major. Yeah, that's it. It's a pretty good stamp on I'm healthy again.
Yeah.
And then now on the back end, you know, where are we at with him now at this point in his career? Something for us to kind of to delve into. You mentioned a strong field, obviously, for the Irish Open. And that's a perfect segue, Smiley, into a little. We're just going to keep updating, as we've told you, on the Ryder Cup throughout this month. And we're going to do it with the help of our friends at Johnny Walker. Smiley, the spirit of the Cup Tour is brought to you by Johnny Walker. And here I've distilled a lot of messaging information. This basically just sounds like a giant Ryder Cup party in New York City with golf activities, which boiled down that way is exactly where I want to be. And you've got is that the blue label right there in your hand? The little JW. I cannot wait to get home and have a sip of that once I'm back from the West Coast. It is. This party is on the streets around New York City from Wednesday, September 24th to Sunday, September 28th. So you can play golf activities and you can get these little cool cocktail kits. It's open to the public. You can chip your way to glory while sipping signature Johnny Walker cocktails. And also, Smiley, there is merch out now, which is music to my ears as a merch hound. The capsule with Devereaux featuring polos, hats, t-shirts, cardigans, and a crossbody bag. And here's the best part about this whole thing is as part of Johnny Walker's commitment to progress, proceeds from the Spirit of the Cup merch and cocktail kits, all those sales, they're going to benefit Fairways to Leadership. It's a national nonprofit dedicated to advancing access to leaders and leadership opportunities through golf literacy to build the next generation of diverse leaders, one fairway at a time. So you got to check that out. Johnny Walker, Devereaux, the support they're providing to Fairways to Leadership and the big party in New York City. So that, that's all good stuff.
All good things.
All great stuff. And even better, this means we are now talking Ryder Cup. And specifically this week, we're talking about the two events, one on the PGA Tour, one on the DP World Tour, that have stacked fields in the fall. And I just want to start there before we dig into the fields, is I love this trend so much of like making these events. We were debating this on the last show as to whether the European team would travel all the way over there and then come all the way back. And here they are doing it. I think this is one of the coolest things to give fall events some juice on a yearly basis.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale. Right.
Why don't you give us just a general outline of the lineups that are showing up to these two events?
Yeah, I mean, it boils down very simply. Every European player, except for Sepp Straka, is going to be teeing it up in the BMW PGA Championship this week. And every American player, except for Xander Schauffele and Bryson DeChambeau, is going to be teeing it up in Napa for the Pro Court Championship. So that's about as good as it gets if you're trying to see these guys tune up for a Ryder Cup.
So Bryson was on property yesterday at Cypress Point, watching a little bit of the Walker Cup. So
do you want to guess where he was?
I know Bryson is obviously from that general area in California, Northern California.
Yeah.
So is he coming up for Napa? Is he going to go hang with the guys for a couple of days? Is that kind of, because he's not playing at the Pro Tour? So
as a proud Clovis West Golden Eagle, Bryson actually is at a rival high school of mine, Clovis East in the Central Valley. So he is definitely local to this area. He is, it could be to visit those guys, could be to check in on the Walker Cups. It's a cool event, a place he played a ton when he was in Amherst. He got invited out a lot. Could be, we haven't talked about it much on this show, but he's got that huge project that he's working on in the Central Valley where he's trying to develop a bunch of golf facilities and educational facilities for kids, you know, where I grew up, which I think is a super cool project. So it could be a little bit of everything.
I bet he shows up to Napa. I bet he does. I bet he's there for at least a couple days.
Cool.
Maybe just doing trick shots in the Napa house, you know.
That feels like an influencer happy section of the world where they're happy to comp Bryson's stay, give him a nice bottle of wine in exchange for some trick shots over the vineyard.
I'd like so look kind of caught. That, I guess. Did you catch any of the Bentley stuff that he was doing? No. Everybody was you didn't catch any of it?
No Bentley. I'm not caught any of the Bentley.
You haven't seen like the stuff that he's been doing on like this trick shot, like in his house. There's a car parked in his house.
And no. I've seen like the visuals of it, but this has all happened in the last week, correct?
Yeah. He like made the shot. And apparently, I guess somebody wins a Bentley. I'm not really exactly sure. I never quite got to the details, but I guess there was the server crashed apparently when everybody had to log on to see if they were going to win the Bentley. So my buddy's group text, they were like, this is ridiculous. They're trying to get a Bentley. I'm like, you don't want to pay the tax on that part.
Golly, we should have entered that. We should have entered a Bentley competition. That would have been sick.
Yeah. Anyways,
it could have been a car Bentley.
Okay. I mean, question for you.
Okay. All right.
So I know that contractually that, you know, a lot of LIV players have to wear their gear pretty much anytime they play golf tournaments. Does he own anything other than a Navy Crusher shirt? Because I was a little surprised that maybe not just see like a casual, you know, red, white or Navy hoodie or something that you wear out to Cypress. So I got to ask maybe Bryson next time I see him if he owns anything other than that shirt.
Look, I understand given your obligations, what you can and can't talk about on the show. For me, it's like, hey, Reebok, I know you said just signed this big new deal where you're doing these cool shoes and merch for him. Like, does it have to? I had the same thought. Could it have been something that was a more subtle Reebok hoodie, you know, something of that nature where you know, that was very much like I'm like Steve Jobs and I only have a bunch of black shirts in my wardrobe, or Mark Zuckerberg. It's like, it's just a closet full of Navy Crushers polos and that's it.
I seriously don't know if I've seen him in a shirt other than a Navy Crusher shirt.
It's like the U.S. Open weeks when something wild gets scripted and we all like take notice of that, and then right back in the Navy Crusher shirts.
I get it.
That's what he likes.
It's a good place. You know, we're going to be on TV, just a more exposure for the Crushers brand. I understand that play, but also you could wear maybe the crew neck version of that, you know, just the red, white and blue crew neck version of the Crusher. I don't know. I'm just wondering. Was that the time and place to get full golf outfit mode to go watch guys play golf?
You're saying we need to expand the Crusher's range, the Crusher's capsule. This is very topical in a segment that is talking about Johnny Walker.
I feel like it needs to be talked about.
The capsule needs to be stretched a little bit further, is what you're telling me. Yeah, no, I thought that was quite funny. It was cool to see him here, though. I mean, I think
100%. Yeah, love it.
Well, and so even without him playing this week, I mean, what are you, BMW and Procore, like, what are the storylines for you where, I guess, storyline one is, does Bryson just pop up unannounced with sunglasses on with a sipping glass of red while following around Justin Thomas, something like that? But what is storyline two in each of these places where you're trying to say, these are guys I would really like to see if they're continuing to do something they've done really well, maybe like a Cameron Young continuing to putt well, or they're working on something that I felt like needed some shoring up at the end of the season.
Well, my first storyline is Xander Schauffele not playing. That was a player I was kind of looking forward to seeing compete, because he didn't make the Tour Championship, as everybody recalls. So he's even further away from his last start when he shows up to the Ryder Cup. It's going to be a full month before Xander plays a competitive round again. Maybe here's a prior commitment. Doubt that you'll see him play the week before, knowing I don't even know what the week after Nap is. Is it Jackson? I don't think he's shown up in Jackson the week before. So that's a bit of a surprise, Charlie, not to see Xander playing. Clearly, you know, he's going to have question marks heading into the Ryder Cup. And I think figuring out who that number two guy is going to be, Bryson, of course, is that guy that you would think. But he's another player that's not going to have any starts before. So who knows how rusty he might be to start the Ryder Cup. So, I think... I don't think if one of these guys goes out and wins that, but it doesn't mean like he's going to go play well at the Ryder Cup. It's just, it would be nice to see that all the players from both sides, I would love to see them all for the most part be playing on the weekend. And if you see a majority of the team missing the cut, that would be the only thing to monitor is if one side has guys not making the weekend, or, you know, half the team doesn't make the weekend. That would be a storyline I'm going to be following.
Yeah, if Xander shows up next week at the Country Club of Jackson, it's because someone got him a tee time, because that event does not happen until after the Ryder Cup. So this was his last chance. Gotcha. It was his last chance to tune
up. There's not a tournament next after Napa?
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing between then and the Ryder Cup. It's interesting. I mean, I would have thought, and only Xander knows as to what the thing is that's going to make him feel the best about the state of his game, given that he did have an off year and he didn't make it to the place, you know, East Lake, that's been happy hunting for him for a number of years now. And so that's it. Just maybe he feels like he wants to go grind on a certain aspect of his short game or swing or whatever else, and get prepped that way. But it's curious. And I wonder, you know, and even on the European side, I think they have both Luke Donald and two assistants playing. I think Francesco or Eduardo Molinari.
Yeah, it was Francesco and Alex Noren. Yeah. Keegan's not playing, and Gary Woodwind is playing. Kiz is not playing. Webb Simpson's not playing. So that, just kind of monitoring that. But the entire team's going to be over at the United States side. So it's going to be a good week for them to, you know, just kind of get ready for Ryder Cup, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of conversations about the golf course, the week, the events, just kind of getting their minds right for what's expect on how to prepare the week after Napa, and then showing up to New York early in the week with Ryder Cup and winning the Ryder Cup on their mind.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, so all interesting things to pay attention to, and you know, I see how they group some of these guys together. I know at the BMW, I guess what it was, Rome was 2 years ago now. The pods were a lot of the guys we saw in those groupings ended up playing together.
Yeah.
So just seeing kind of those are always early nice tells.
That's a good
call. We're sitting here next week. You know,
I'm most interested to see who JJ gets paired with. I have this intuition that I feel like him and Morikawa somehow are going to get paired up in all of this. So I'd be interested to see if those two get paired together at Napa. So that would be two guys, really those two guys, Morikawa, and then throw in JT, because I still have no idea who JT is going to play with.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be very interesting, Smiley. But we'll have more data to kind of break down after this next week. It's getting late here at Cypress, and we've got probably, I don't know, another 10 to 15 minutes in the show. Do you want to do some Walker Cup breakdown before we
Let's do it, buddy. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Where should we begin? What's the best place for me to start? Kind of running through the vibes today, or guys that I like this week. How about this? Let's do leading point getters this week to get going. So we had on the American side, Jackson Koivun and Jay Summey both earned 3 points playing in four sessions. And then Mason Howe was your third leading point getter, 2.5 points in only three sessions. And then on the GB and I side, Connor Graham, 2.5 points, was the leading point getter out of four sessions, plays at Texas Tech. This is a guy you might remember was the youngest to ever play in the Walker Cup on the GB and I side at St. Andrews in 2023, now 18. And then Luke Poulter and Charlie Forster both earned 2 points apiece. Poulter, of course, plays for Florida, and Charlie plays for Long Beach State University. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to kind of, I think part of this we talked about on the front end was which one of these guys or which group of these guys are we putting a pin in and coming back 2 years down the road who sees become a superstar. And for me, Mason Howell's got the X factor, man. I mean, I know we kind of opened up a little bit on this, but I think he has everything it takes to become a star.
Yeah, so I would say that Jackson Koivun was my MVP, but I hear you on Mason Howell. I love what he brings to the game. He brings just an athletic dude. When you look at the guy, he's tall, hits it a long way, has moxie about him, just seems way more mature than what his age is. Seems like he's been in college for a couple of years and he's not even there yet. So I'm with you on Mason Howell, but Jackson Koivun he's the leader of this team. He's the player that they all look up to as far as being it, you know, the guy to go out first in every one of these matches. Already got his PGA Tour card through the accelerated program. Won all the awards his freshman year, and what he was able to do this week was pretty impressive. I was not surprised at what he did, but from all the pros I talked to about Jackson Koivun, and just word around the street from the caddies and other players, is that this kid is a real deal. He's good enough to, obviously, you know, what you've seen in his last three PGA Tour starts, finishing in the top 20, top 25, pretty much every single time, just goes to show his game not only is good at, you know, the top level of amateur golf, but he's good enough right now to make a career on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I ran into our boy Kellen out here. He's falling around Tommy Morrison.
KC.
And we were talking about, so, you know, Jackson, of course, has his tour card already. Mason Howell, before he even enters college, I think has either 8 or 9 of the points he needs via accelerated towards his tour card, and multiple opportunities before then to add more points to that tally. So it's just, it's amazing both the development of these pipelines through programs like this, of just how many, I don't know if it's just because the program is creating more opportunities, we're seeing these guys more, or if the quality of the player is actually improving. Maybe you can kind of speak to that, you know, given where you felt like you were kind of coming out of the junior ranks when you came out and what that looks like now. But it just feels like so many of these guys have games suited to high-level golf at younger ages. And, you know, watching Mason hoop it from fairway to make twos on 15 and 16 to close out his first match, and singles and then holes out on 17. It's like That is stuff that you don't see from every average 18-year-old, even if they're amongst the America's best.
Dude, Mason Howell, he birdied 16 in both of his singles matches. Just incredible, man. And then a hole out at 17. What I mean, he checked off just about every single box Mason did, which is just makes for just an unforgettable week for Mason. But I would say the other aspect I kind of want to bring up too, another player that's probably going to be not talked about a ton in all this, but in playing his fifth Walker Cup, Stuart Hagestad. Mm-hmm, I went and just kind of looked at everybody's scores to see generally how everybody played from the United States team, especially with the top points getters. And I wanted to see Koivun, Howell, and Hagestad just kind of where they stacked up stroke play. I know you're kind of given some putts, so you kind of have to take it a little bit with a grain of salt in just the singles aspect. So like Koivun in a Saturday singles, he was he was 6 under on Saturday singles. He was 3 under today. Mason Howell was 5 under in Saturday singles. He was only 1 under today. But Stuart Hagestad in his Saturday singles, he only got through 13 holes, but he was 6 under par. And then today he won on the 15th hole and he was 5 under par. So he was 11 under par and he still had, 8 holes of golf left to play. So just nobody was beating Stuart Hagestad in singles this week, apparently, because that is some incredible golf. So probably an MVP for, especially with all the experience that he has in this, when you have a mid-am that can play to that level, because you have to have one mid-am play in the Walker Cup on each spot. And you have somebody like him. It's like, this guy's obviously good enough to play pro golf. And luckily for the United States team, for the Walker Cup standpoint, he's their ace in the hole.
Yeah, I mean, he's been so solid. And it's a guy like that that is, you know, that can bring not only experience, but experience and results. You know, just his record, I think 7-1 now and singles, you know, which is amongst the greats in the history of the competition. I mean, it's truly crazy stuff.
Nathan Smith's actually a good example, you know, the captain for this United States Walker Cup team. He won 5 mid-ams. It's probably the best comparison in the modern age of mid-am golf of the best mid-am players to play the game that have at least been in our generation.
Yeah. I just think, and it, to me, it was just, was really cool to see a place like this come to life. I know we talked about this off the top of the show, but just bringing it back, and I don't know if there's other parts of this you want to expand on, or of drone shots you saw this week, or just visuals of this is, you know, and there was a little bit of a kerfluffle earlier today when there's an exception taken to a putt that wasn't given, and just the reactions were pretty unilateral from both sides of like, hey, that's not behavior that we're going to tolerate at this type of competition.
Can you talk to me about kerfluffle again? Can you run that word back? I've never heard that word before.
The word or the situation? Just the word. You know, just
both. Your
kerfluffle. I'd probably define as like a pillow fight of a skirmish. You know, just as something that just kind of rubbed people a little bit the wrong way. But it was, you know, it's not like it's going to make headline news. It might not even make back page news. But there was just a little something that happened. That was, you know, something that you might see, for example, in a month at Bethpage Black for the Ryder Cup, and the fans would love it, and they'd you know, be hyped up for it. The response this got was not maybe what was expected, given the situation. And I think that look, you know, some people are going to listen to me say this, they're going to poo-poo, you know, we like the changing face of golf and the people we're inviting in. And I think that has a time and place too, and I think it's great. But I do love the way that this competition has this level of like sanctity and this amazing rota of courses and these custodians who really treat it with care and make sure its values are upheld. And yeah, it might be a little bit wonky in that the competition is lopsided in some ways and not so in others. You know, it's like, why would you not lump in additional nations to make this thing more competitive? Well, it's because this is how it was started, and this is the tradition, this is the history. And even if the United States of America are going to, you know, win in singles almost every time, the foursomes format, the all shot format being close gives us some sort of character. So I love that this competition has been run the way it has by the USGA, that it's found clubs like Cyprus and Seminole and going to La Hinch next year and was just at St. Andrews, the old course, like that there are places like that that are like, yes, we want to have you here. And in doing so, we're going to expose the world to a golf setting that they don't normally get access to. That is super, super cool.
100%. I got a couple of things for you. So you mentioned the venues and you just talked about where they've been. And I figured we have to tell everybody where they're going. And they wanted to get back on an even calendar. I'm not sure exactly what the reasoning is COVID. For that.
Well, I know it's COVID,
but they just want to get back on an even calendar.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's what it was down to. They just want to get back on even years.
So Walker Cup and USGA, big even guys. Not an odd people.
maybe part of it's like to get off of the Ryder Cup schedule, which I don't know if that helps more or less. You know, just having it be, who knows? We're discussing at this point.
So Lahinch at 26. So people just get your start getting your tickets. All right. So Lahinch at 26, Bandon Dunes in 28. They're going to Prince's Golf Club, which I'm not super familiar with. I believe that's in England somewhere in 2032 in Oakmont, 34. That venue is not set yet. Chicago Golf Club in 2036. When we're in our mid-40s, approaching 50, we're going to have to do a little Chi-Town trip. And then in 2044, I believe I read, we're going to Pine Valley. So at that point, 20 years from now, I'm going to be in my early 50s and probably gonna have to make that one too. Going to have to go tell Fran, hey, 22 years from now, wherever it is, 2019 years, however it is. I think Charlie and I are going to have to go to the Pine Valley.
We'll play like from the senior, the up tees, and we'll try to break Buddy Marucci's birdie or better at every hole at Pine Valley, or eagle or better at every hole at Pine Valley.
Retweet the up tees.
It's going to be a sick video. Like, I don't know if it'll be on YouTube now or whatever's in the future. AI. Yeah. What do you got for me?
So I had future venues for you. And then the other thing was just generally talking about the format. You brought up how the singles play obviously was the overwhelming deciding factor of this Walker Cup at Cypress Point, with the United States team basically just dominating in every single session. But when you look at just the points and how this format is determined, it is so heavily weighted in singles because the GB and I outscored the USA 5-3. So they did better in the team format. But when you have 8 matches on Saturday singles in the afternoon and then 10 in the afternoon on Sunday, it's tough because the United States side is always going to be a deeper roster, more highly ranked. And yes, it's maybe a home course advantage or it's a, you know, you'll have more fans cheering for you, a little bit more momentum. It still shouldn't feel like an overwhelming factor, but in singles play, when it's just 1v1 and it's not an awkward format, it feels like tie kind of goes to the runner when it goes to looking at the United States depth versus the GB and I team, which I think arguably you could say, hey, this thing would be way, way closer if we included the rest of Europe and all this. Then it's like apples to oranges now. It's like way more like the Ryder Cup, where you have the Ludvig Åbergs of the world, right, that come from Sweden, that would be playing in these Walker Cups. But you have to respect the tradition. But at some point, if this thing gets out of hand and United States wins the next 5, what point do you look at the current Walker Cup and think, okay, how do we make this a more competitive deal, almost to where it's similar to the President's Cup, where you feel like they keep it somewhat interesting and close, but never feel like they're going to win.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think, okay, first preference would be the USGA and the PGA of America and the RNA all get together in a boardroom and say, hey, like, we're going to work together on this thing to make it, you know, we're going to call it the Walker Cup and we're going to retain all the tradition.
Well, it's different organizations, right? It's different organizations. That's what I'm saying. PGA and the USGA.
If the USGA and the PGA of America were able to get together and say, hey, we're going to make the Walker Cup basically the Junior Ryder Cup with Walker Cup branding. I think that's the best case scenario for the competition.
Well, they already do it, you know? It's like they already have the Junior Ryder Cup. That's the problem.
They do, and so they're not going to give up some commercial entity, but I just feel like that it's a product with a rota that people are so, so intrigued in on a yearly or bi-yearly basis, I guess, that if you added a competitive level there and players that we all, you know, can see on the Wagger and some of whom have won amateur events, and they're playing in majors, so we have familiarity with them. If you added that in, I think the TV ratings would only go up. And there's already been this sort of steady incline. And so that would be my argument there. But I also say that I understand why it's split. So then it's like, let's just keep the competition as is. I'd look at that like Saturday afternoon session and say either do a four ball session or just do three foursome sessions. You know, like just do you know, three sets three sessions of four foursomes matches and then 10 singles matches.
I'd almost be in more for that, your first option that you presented, instead of another set of foursomes, go four ball in the afternoon on Friday to where, you know, I still love everybody playing singles in the afternoon on Sunday, which is of course similar to the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
But if you throw in just another curveball of team play versus you want to get everybody out there playing because it's only 2 days and you don't want to have anybody sitting both sessions on any given day. So maybe it's that's the reasoning why with the singles. But I mean, this is obviously something that
that
we can talk about. But you know, GB and I, they've gone on runs before. You know, back in like when GMAC and those boys were playing, they were winning these things convincingly at times.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's one of those things where if you're leaving Saturday where there are four ball matches in the afternoon and GB and I manages to push those, you know, and they have a 5-3 lead heading into Sunday, it just feels a little bit different than giving, you know, USA 8 singles matches and they end up, you know, doing what they do and having that, even if it was a small lead, a point lead heading into Sunday, it's just different than if there's more on the line, there's more they have to chase overnight. But I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, I don't think the competitive part of this has to be completely perfect, as long as it retains its soul and its spirit of like,
sure,
we're going to showcase the best players from these three locations. They're going to do it in this very kind of old school, respectful way at these amazing places. And we're going to put it on TV with all these amazing modern technological advancements. So you get to see Cypress Point come to life.
Drone coverage this week was incredible. And I guess what I'm looking for from future Walker Cups is I want to see future stars from the GB and I side. You know, I heard so many stories this week about past Walker Cups and especially from like the Rory McIlroy when he was playing, the Billy Horschel stories of them two going at it. And what Rory McIlroy's turned into obviously today, which is, you know, one of the all time great players. But you know, there was one player that impressed me this week. He wasn't necessarily the longest player, but I loved his golf swing. I think it's a golf swing that's going to really hold up for quite some time. It just seems like something that isn't going to get too off. And that was Connor Graham. You already mentioned him. He was the leading point getter for this team. Luke Poulter underwhelmed a little bit. I thought he had to be a player that had to go even more than 2 points that you mentioned. Yeah. I say underwhelmed. He was going up against Mason Howell, I believe, in both matches. He wasn't given the easiest assignment on the week as far as his pairings go, which is what you want from your star players. But Connor Graham really impressed me. I just think that the fact that he's already played a Walker Cup at 16, just played his second at 18, probably played his third at 19. Not many three-time Walker Cup players. A player that also was was also at the top of the board with stroke play with Preston Stout at Olympic Club this year. So obviously somebody who's got a ton of confidence, plays over at Texas Tech. So look out for Connor Graham. I think that's a player that caught my eye from that side. And then also, gosh, what's his name? You said his name earlier from the United States. He was a player I wasn't super familiar with, but also
Jay
scored.
Summey, Jay Summey, Oklahoma.
Really liked his golf swing. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like he necessarily hit it too far, but just looked like he had a ton of confidence in his golf swing and just being able to hit it right where he was looking.
I didn't know a ton about him prior to this competition either, and just, you know, obviously went back and looked at his OU bio and everything, but just very steady this week. You know, and a guy that played foursomes twice with Michael Lasasso. And I think Lasasso had I think a lot of stuff happened, and his singles match was done. He only played three sessions, and the third session, the whole match was over at that point. But, you know, I think this week, I was hoping to see maybe a little more from Michael Lasasso, from Tyler Weaver, some of those guys.
Weaver went up against a tough matchup.
He went up against a buzzsaw. Koivin.
Hold on. I thought I had something on him because Koivin, he was six under. Koivin on Saturday and Saturday singles was six under and obviously beat mm-hmm. him. But in foursomes, this was on Saturday. So that first match when they got beat 3-2, him and Tommy Morrison, Koivin and Morrison were five under and they didn't even make it to 17. Weaver went out and played some golf that morning with Graham, Connor Graham and Weaver.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm glad you mentioned that because I believe that was the match where 10 of 11 holes were won with birdie?
Probably, man. Right. Those boys got off to a good start.
That was insane.
Do we have a picture that or Elise, did you get to see Koivin and Tommy Morrison stand next to each other? A lot of people don't know. Yes. Tommy Morrison is 6'9", and Koivin is, what, 5'9"? He's a good foot. Maybe he's taller than that.
He could have been 5'4" based on just walking behind him in the fairway. I mean, that was how much the size difference was. That was kind of funny. That's the other thing that struck me this week is like, golly, they build some of these kids in a lab these days. I mean, they're all like tall, rangy, you know, Mason Halleck, all these guys just absolutely smash the golf ball. They're lean.
How
they
tall
get
is
in
Mason?
All these crazy positions. Mason, if I was guessing, I'd say 6'3".
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, just based on, but again, I'm working off of guys like Tommy Morrison.
Is he going to Georgia this year?
No, not until next fall.
Oh my God.
He's in 26. He's going to go back and play high school golf. I mean, I can't fathom, you know, and I know it's a little bit of seizing on one guy, but I really do think that. And that's no disrespect to all the other guys that I saw here this week. Of just there was a ton of talent, a ton of creative shot making, a lot of clutch putting on Poe that can be very tough and frustrating. But you just kind of know when you see it. Like I think he's going to have if barring something unforeseen, like that guy is going to be a star.
And we'll see. Hopefully, Miles Russell and LaHinch next year too. So another player that we've talked so much about Miles Russell, that the high school phenom, but Mason Howell is just kind of has stolen the spotlight a little bit from Miles as far as the high school star goes this year. But those two guys, it's gonna be fun to watch those two play their freshman year. It feels a lot like Jordan and JT when they got to Texas and Alabama. It's gonna be similar. They're gonna be the two best players in college golf when they get on campus. At Florida State, I assume they're pretty similar age. Maybe Mason's a year older, but it's gonna be fun to watch your careers.
Mason's currently 18 already, I think, but is still entering his senior year of high school. I think Miles is Miles 17 now. Going, I'm not gonna guess here. They're young and they're good in golf. maybe we gotta go to LaHinch next year. Should we go to LaHinch next year? What do you think? A little qualification for the families in Ireland.
God, man, I feel like, you know, we're in our nesting mode right now, just trying to get our house ready for like the second baby. And luckily, you know, my mother and father-in-law took Anna Carter to the Auburn game this weekend. And so it gave us, Francie and I, an opportunity to like just do all the projects around the house this weekend. So I literally felt like I was just cleaning and organizing all weekend. And when I think about, you know, just going places like Ireland. I'm like, gosh, I literally just cleaned all day. And then Anna Carter shows back up at home. And then just, she's just a tornado that rips through the house. And I love her to death. But she got so home good. And immediately went to her princess drawer to get a princess outfit. And she went through every single one until she found the one at the bottom that she wanted to wear. And I'm just like, God, we literally had this place like exactly the way we wanted it. And then it's just, man, toddlers, man. And we got another one coming. So I'm going to have to probably say, on going to Ireland.
Yeah.
But I'm there in spirit with you.
Well, it's how I have to spend these things now with the family, because it is the thought of like assembling luggage for everybody and then getting them there one piece. And the fact that we did that on opposite coast this week, I'm with a man. I'm like, hey, so this is, it's kind of like a vacation, right? Like, do I get to check a box here? Did this qualify as a vacation? Play golf twice.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to hear about your red eye tomorrow night.
Oh yeah. Okay. Please send thoughts and prayers. I ran into a fan of the show out here. Who was pushing his two kids around in a stroller. It was fun talking to him. But I was like sketching out this plan, and I got like the most like non-committal, like, yeah, that should work, from his wife. 11 p.m. red eye, San Francisco to Raleigh, Durham.
At least there's no connections.
It's either going to work or it's not. I hope for the sake of my negotiating positions with my wife that does work, but I'm not optimistic.
Oh, gosh. Good luck. Can't wait to hear about it. And the only thing I want to leave you with is pressure washing. Did you like that picture I sent you?
Great pick. What were you pressure washing that you ended up looking like a chocolate chip cookie?
I was pressure washing our sidewalk that has, you know, all these, I guess, little stone things kind of intermittently with there's so much that moss and all this dirt that's got in between the cracks that I wanted to pressure wash out. And it took me probably like an hour and a half. Like, I can't feel my forearms from holding the pressure washer the entire time. But if I wasn't wearing sunglasses, I think I would have lost my vision, because this mud was coming, you know, Mach 7 at my eyes, and they're all like, Anna Carter came outside and she was literally scared to death because I was covered in dirt. But the end product was incredible. Did I send you the picture of what it came out?
I only got the mud pick, but it feels like this is a stage of many of my peers' lives, is the pressure washer acquisition. And everyone gives it rave reviews. Like, it's very cathartic.
I just texted you, so please take a peek before we get done. Because I need your take on how satisfying this entire, it's not cobblestone, it's just, I don't know what it is. Not a stone expert here.
I'm waiting for this to come through. I mean, I trust that it's top tier.
Real quick, did North Carolina win? I didn't have a chance to look.
Yeah, we really convincing win over Charlotte. It was like 20-3.
LaTeX. I mean, we made them out to be, you know, 2003 USC. I mean, we were just as bad. Clemson played terrible too.
Yeah, Clemson. Did Clemson end up winning?
I think we won by like 20. It was not good. We played LaTeX. It was a really, really a gross game.
20-3 for the Heels. And
did you say did y'all cover? Because we were talking about that line. I think the readjusted line, the readjusted line, North Carolina covered, but the original line for the week prior,
original line was like 20-21.
The guy that bought in at week zero is like, I'm going to get in on this 20 and a half. they don't cover. I don't have service out here. It's not. I'll send it to you later.
We're at home to Richmond next week, so.
Okay.
Let's hope we cover that one, because that'd be bad. Be bad if we don't. Well, this has been a lot of fun. It's been great to be out here, boots on the ground. Missed you out here this week, Smiley, but Cyprus, man. Great week. Appreciate y'all watching and listening, consuming all the content. And got some fun guests that we're hoping to have in the feed this week as we march towards the Ryder Cup. So we'll talk to you right back here very soon.
See
you. You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our first time fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too, so please keep it up.
For all the good people on YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the...
Looking for more than just pain relief?
at Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.